Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the HEFA podcast. So we have had a lovely Christmas period off. We've had a couple of weeks off from the podcast. I hope you have not, you know, struggled too much not being able to listen to my voice and the voice of all of our wonderful admin. However, we are back. So happy new year and welcome to 2023. In this week's podcast and for this future series of podcasts, we're going to be talking to members of our community, which is very, very exciting. And what we're going to do for this is the series is going to be called Home Ed 101. So essentially, if you are a HEFA member, you will know that we have copious amounts of guides in our Facebook group. There are 27, 28 different guides, and we are regularly adding more because there is so much information to know about home education. So what we're going to do in this Home Ed 101 is we are going to work through some of the ones that require the most focus. And we're going to have a chat with many of our members over the course of several weeks. So this week we are talking about deregistration. So deregistration is when we decide that we don't want our children to attend school anymore and we decide to remove them from the school system. If you have a child that has never been to school, then you do not have to do any deregistration because you have never registered anywhere. So there is a common misconception that you have to attend school. This misconception comes from the government and it is purposely worded in a way that suggests that you'll get these kind of forms through the post that says you must register your child in school now. And nowhere on those forms does it tell you that also you have the option to home educate if you wanted to. Home education is a legal right and it's of equal legal status in the UK, in England in particular. The reason that I say that is because Scotland have slightly different rules, as do Northern Ireland. Wales have the same rules as us, but it's slightly different wording. So the three members that I'm speaking to today all come from England, the area of England. So, one of our members comes from Wales, which is fun, which I did not consider asking when I asked for guests. But that's totally fine. Wales works, Chelsea, because Wales have the same rules and work to the same legislation as England. It's just slightly different wording when it comes to deregistration. So, what is deregistration all about? So, as I was saying, the law around home education is that it's of equal legal status. And if you have chosen to enrol your child in a school and then you decide that you don't want them in school anymore, you would issue an instruction to deregister to the school. This is slightly different when you have a child in a special school. In that circumstance, you would write to the local authority for consent to remove your child from the special school. We do have a guest who has done that side of things as well. So the three guests that we have today are Chelsea, who's going to talk to us about deregistering when you have a child in mainstream school. They don't have an EHCP or anything like that. We also have Christina, who is going to talk to us about deregistering with an EHCP and when it's, you know, it's been a difficult process to be able to get deregistration to happen. And then we have Mandy, who is going to be talking to us about deregistering from a special school. So when it comes to deregistration, it should be a simple process. I say should be because there's caveats of things like schools not understanding what the deregistration process is, and local authorities overstepping their remit and things like that. So deregistration is a legal right and it's a legal instruction. So because of that, and because of the law, Section 7 of the Education Act, it means that parents are responsible for ensuring their children receive an education. So every parent is responsible for ensuring their child receives an education, either at school or otherwise. Now, those two words, or otherwise, is what home education or private tutoring or, you know, registering at a private school or all of those kinds of things, they all come under or otherwise. So you can, in a mainstream school, with or without an EHCP, you can send a legal instruction to deregister. And what that does is it tells the school that you are now home educating your child and that they need to remove your child from their admissions roll and let the local authority know that that has happened. It should be that simple, and we're going to talk to Chelsea now because it often is that simple, but sometimes it can go awry, so that's why we've got other guests as well. So, Chelsea, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
It's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for offering yourself up as tribute. This is the first podcast involving members of our community as opposed to admin. So very excited to have you here. Thank you very much. So you just threw me a curveball in that you are in Wales.
Yeah, only just.
Only just.
We're just on the border.
Okay, fantastic. So when it comes to the legislation around deregistration in England and Wales, they are the same.
Yes.
But the wording is very slightly different. So the deregistration letter that you would send is worded slightly differently. I do believe that's the only difference.
It is. That is literally the only difference. Instead of the English Education Act, you just put the Welsh Education Act, and that's the only difference.
Fantastic. Okay, so how did deregistration go for you?
It was really, really easy, shockingly, considering how difficult his school could be when he was there. We literally, my husband, we printed off a copy of the letter. He took it in, handed it to the head teacher. We kept a copy at home. The next day we received a letter saying that they'd contacted the local authority, they'd done everything that they needed to do, they'd taken his name off the registration, and within 24 hours he was deregistered.
Amazing.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, this is how it should work.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah, for mainstream, even with an EHCP, this is how it should work. It should work via You as the parent who is legally responsible for ensuring your child receives an education, you send a legal instruction to the school to deregister your child. The school action that, inform the local authority, and that is that. That's where it should end. So you said that the school was difficult to manage before deregistration?
Oh yeah, whilst he was actually registered in the school, because he only stayed for nursery and 2 months of reception. He'd be going into year two this year, and we pulled him out in reception because he was bullied all throughout nursery.
Oh, bless him.
And when I approached the school about it, as a parent does, they laughed. And
wow,
that was my turning point then. We'd discussed home educating before, but we always thought it was like we didn't think it was normal to do it.
Yeah.
Because you don't. We were like, no, you send them to school, they make friends, they go all through school, and that's what you do, that's the norm. And then we decided we no longer wanted to be normal. We wanted to be the odd family that home educates.
Welcome to the odd club.
It's a good club.
It is a good club. It is. I think until you join the sort of home ed community via the internet, you kind of don't realise how many of us are out there in the country, right?
No, I didn't. We had a picnic last year of home educators in the local area. There was over 100 people there.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realise that there was that many home educating families just where I live. I thought it was just us and like the couple that live in like the same streets as us. But there were so many people there and it was lovely to see as well. And all the kids got along, which was great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
So you've
got younger children as well. Are you going to be home educating them now?
Yes, they will never step foot inside a school.
I'm with you on that. My 9-year old, by the time I deregistered the other three who were older, he was kind of one or two, and he's never gone through the system at all. Didn't go to play school, didn't go to sort of nursery or preschool or any of those things, and it's genuinely been a really wonderful experience to see the difference between sort of my other children at the same age as him, who had been through the school system, compared to him, who never has. It's fascinating to watch, and you'll probably see that happen as your younger ones get older. You'll kind of notice how different they are compared to the one who did go to school. Thank you for sharing how easy it should be to deregister. I'm going to move on now to Christina. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
Hello. So am I right that you deregistered with an EHCP?
Yes, I did.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
From mainstream, not from special education needs school, just from mainstream.
Fantastic. And how was that experience for you?
Horrible.
Oh.
The school was actually quite horrible towards me and towards my son from the beginning. He started there in nursery. He's severe Stefan. My son Stefan is severely autistic. He has developmental global delay. He's nonverbal. He's not potty trained. We couldn't manage to potty train him yet. And he attended.
So lots of needs.
Lots of needs, exactly. Lots of complex needs. He was a very needy child that, you know, we've been through many phases, like always happens. But from school, since he started basically nursery, we've had so many problems and so many issues in terms of sleeping. Instead, even if 1 hour he was asleep per day during the day, everything was upside down during the night.
Right.
He started to have so many meltdowns, head bumping, biting, scratching, pinching. He arrived to pinch with his nails, his own flesh.
Yeah.
And say, until blood.
And oh, bless him. So he was clearly quite distressed.
Very distressed, and because I'm a foreigner. I don't know very well the laws here. I'm not aware of, I was not aware of home education. And if I can do, I thought somehow that I need to be a teacher. I need to be, I was not aware, basically, of anything.
Yeah.
Everything, I swallowed so many things from that school, from, I can say the name, Gold Peters. I live in London. And everything started from nursery, when I used to work, as a nurse full time. And it was supposed to help me. The system was supposed to help me. And I put him to school, to nursery school. And they kept calling me after 1 hour, after 2 hours to pick him up because he's distressed. And I said, well, my child, I know he's needy, but he's not that distressed as you tell me. No, he's very distressed. He's doing this and that, and we cannot do more than this. We cannot try to calm him down more than 45, 50 minutes. And I was like, what you're talking about? He's not like this yet. He wasn't that much distressed by that moment. And I came. I just couldn't go to work. They were calling me constantly. The child was very distressed at home. I had many chats, many conversations with them. Okay, do we have any alternative? Because this is my situation, my family situation. This is what I can do. This is how I, this is what I work. It's not possible to attend this. Is it a possibility to have him home and to bring him back next year into reception? No, absolutely not. Okay. What is the possibility? What are the options there? Because I just cannot leave my work and go up and down, up and down, up and down. I will be basically with no work soon. No, the only solution is this. We will apply for an EHCP and we will see after. So I've done this, I like to say sport, because it was a sport routine for 2 years until... I've had the EHCP finally, I've had the diagnosis, I've had everything, the help from CAMHS, the help from social services towards this. The social services, basically the lady was very surprised that the school is having my child only for 1 hour. They were very surprised that he needs to go into a uniform. They were very surprised because they complain to social services that I do not give him proper food. Exactly what I'm saying, proper food with him in school. And I said, I'm not giving him a proper food, what you call a proper food, because he's autistic and he's not eating. So I have to make a toast instead of carbs. I have to give some like a Frankfurt sausage because this is what he eats instead of protein. And I have to give some cakes, small cakes, like angel cakes, or, you know, because this is what he eats.
Yeah. It's more important that the child is able to eat.
Absolutely. Because this is the situation. I would like him to have more things, but unfortunately, the autistic people are like this, and it's nothing that I can change. The social worker explained to them, I had to go to the pediatrician to take letter from pediatrician and from GP that he's not eating. So I asked them how they are supposed to know better than me that I'm home. When I'm going to see them, they are keeping in mind and in writing what I tell them. And they are very friendly and they are very helpful. And you want them to attest the fact that he's not eating at home. Do you think that we have a camera on? Or do you think, I mean, they did make our life hell, pure hell.
So sorry.
Then my husband went there and basically we were supposed to pick him up at 3:10 in the afternoon. So we were late because I was also pregnant with my third one. We were late due to a scan, hospital scan, and we were late like about 10-15 minutes. I just couldn't go there. I left my husband, please pick him up here. And what happened there, they accused him of misconduct towards the staff because he openly said, why everybody has to go with 3:10 and we have to pick him up at 3. Why you are discriminating him? My husband was the first one who noticed discrimination. The time passed by. He arrived to be in year 3. When I said finally, I had enough. What happened? He was very distressed every morning. Every morning, every blessed morning, he was crying when he was seeing the uniform. I was hardly dressing him up for going to school. He was biting me. I was bruised. He was bruised for the forehead. And I was keep going late with him due to these reasons. I had to go to walk through the park first and then to take him to school.
To try and help him to regulate before he goes in.
Yeah. Exactly. So they started again to contact social services that I'm always late in the morning. I listened to my husband and said, you know, something, write an email for them and write to have a proof, write for them and tell them why you are late and try to make them understand that it's not possible. They were putting so much for special education needs school. I was a bit reluctant. I don't know why, but I was a bit reluctant, but I accepted. And they kept pushing and pushing. They kept having the funds in because they had huge amount of funds over there in school for this, for especially for my child. They have plenty of children with special education needs, but for my child, they had quite a lot. Then I found out from the council how much they had. I was quite surprised to know this. And
So what led you to sort of deregistering in the end?
The misery that my son was in and the misery that they made us go through. When September, when school started, they told me, we do not have a mattress to change him. Okay, what happened with the mattress from 1 month and a half ago, because the holiday was just 1 month and a half? They said, no, it's just too small. It is, I don't know what they said there. You need to come to school and to change him every time he wees or he poops.
Wow.
I beg your pardon?
That's crazy.
Exactly. What did you say? Yes, you need to come to school to change him until the mattress comes. I was silly enough to go for 1 week. I've noticed that they were changing him in the classroom behind the curtain. Behind the curtain in the classroom full of pupils. I said, there is a problem with the smell, you know. I showed you several times how to do this in the bathroom without any mattress, just in his feet. I just came personally to show you. What is this? It's abuse. I'm a nurse myself. You just can't do this. It's abuse. It's dignity. It's what are you doing? This is our way, because they started to lose a little bit their ground when I told them this. Do you think, are you talking with who? If I know something in this country, is my job, and this is my job that I know. I don't know much the laws, but in terms of my job, I'm good at it. They lost a little bit of a color, and they came up with the idea that I should keep him at home and bring him for 1 hour in school until the mattress arrives. And I said, you know something, I'm sorry. I will keep him at home until the mattress arrives. When the mattress arrives, you give me a call and I'll bring him back to school. Point. End of discussion. That's it. They didn't like this very much. And I've waited, Helen, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. 3 weeks in total. And then I phoned back. I started to look on the web, HEFA group. Yeah. I started to get in touch with people who are homeschooling, home educating. I've started to make my bet in terms of this, because I had enough. And I phoned after 3 weeks and I asked them, what happens with the mattress? Oh, we got the mattress. Oh, really? When? Oh, well, last week. Oh, last week, did you cut the mattress last week and you failed to call me to let me know? You know, it's October. It is October.
That's crazy.
Well, it was absolutely crazy with this call. So they said, you know something, but even with the mattress, we've spoken with the staff that looks after Stefan. He's one-to-one maybe, and other stuff, I don't know. He used to have a one-to-one. And they don't agree anymore to change him due to the smell. And I was shocked. And I said, okay, why you couldn't tell me this from the beginning? I mean, You just bullied me for more than 4 weeks, you know, into this. Instead of, you lied to me. You put it on the mattress. No, it's not the mattress. Come on. Come on. And finally to tell me that they refused to change him because of the smell. Okay, I do understand this. I totally agree, but I just can't accept your lies and your the way that you treated me. Okay, so what are the options then? I've asked them. The option is to bring him in at 10, as you can bring him, because we know that you have problems with waking him up and and to change him, to come and change him every time. I said, I'm sorry, I just cannot do this. I have a small kid. I have problems. I have issues that need to be sorted out. I just cannot be a security guard in front of your school for 6 hours a day, every day. What you are asking me, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Why don't you pay me? Pay me as his one-to-one and we discuss differently then. No, we can't because we have full staff and we got... No, this is discrimination. This can't be. No, it's not because you know you have to understand and blah, blah, and blah, blah. They said, look, I will do my homework and they will come back. So I did my homework and I called Barnett. I just called Barnett. I called I don't know exactly... His support worker from Barnett, the person responsible with the EHCP, with the funding, directing the funding towards the school. I got hold of her. I got reach of her finally. And I said this, and she was surprised, and I said, oh my God. No, it can't be. Yes. Yes, it is. So she wrote to them. I don't know exactly what she did because she told me that she will get back as soon as possible. And she sent for me a letter where she clearly stated that this is discrimination and this shouldn't take place. That it's my free time and that the school receives £4,000 a month. £4,000 a month for him to look after him from 9 to 3. So I should, you know, you are free in this time. You can work, you can sleep, you can do whatever, you can shop, you can cook, you can do, we don't care. During 9 to 3, from Monday to Friday, during school times, they are supposed to look after him. We pay their staff to do this. And in his EHCP, it clearly states personal care.
Yeah.
That's simple as this. So... I took a decision and I told her, I forgot her name. I told her I'm thinking to deregister my son and to home educate. She was not very keen to this, but she was not against at all. She just kept saying that I can understand you want to deregister, but if they offer you a place for a special education needs school, I do advise you strongly to go for and to, you know, to give it a try for his sake. And I said, I can't think about that thing now. I'm only thinking about what is happening now. And I will send my deregistration letter. So this is what I did in the same day. I took the template. I've completed and I've sent the form. Second day, I can read for you. So Yeah, I said something there, Mr. X. Please remove my son from the school roll with immediate effect in accordance with Regulation 8.1D of the Education Pupil Registration Regulation 2006, that he is now home educated in accordance with Section 7 of the 1996 Education Act. Please confirm receipt of his letter and that my son Stefan Names has been removed from the roll. I kindly request all communication in writing only, and I do not consent to data sharing. It was the first registration letter. There were three, and there were also three failure to deregister letters sent to school. Reasons I had that they cannot do this, because, let me see why, we are writing to you as you requested all communication in writing in your earlier email. We are sorry that you would like to take Stefan off roll and home educate him. We have sought advice from the SEN caseworker, and she has informed us that Stefan cannot be removed from our roll as his case will need to be discussed at the next SEN panel, and his EHCP amended accordingly following panel's decision.
This is something that we hear quite often from families that have an EHCP in a mainstream school, that unfortunately a lot of people who are working within the system don't understand that a child in mainstream education with an EHCP currently under law, it follows the exact same process. So a deregistration letter is sent, the child is removed from the roll. And what that should do is then it should trigger an emergency review of the EHCP. And that is nothing to do with the actual school. It shouldn't delay deregistration or any of those kinds of things. But time and time again, we do hear from members like yourself, Christina, who have this very difficult situation with, you know, schools and local authority workers saying that, you know, you can't do something that legally you know is correct. Did you manage to get it sorted out in the end, Christina?
In the end, after three failure to deregister letters, they also said something very funny. in the end they cannot deregister as they seek advice from the they sought advice from the home educating officer from Barnet.
Okay.
And the home educator officer said that they shouldn't deregister him until he spoke to me, which was a blunt lie. Because I spoke the officer in Barnet here, she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing, this lady. And she said, what? No, I haven't said something like this. It's illegal to say something like this. It's absolutely illegal. No way. No, I couldn't. No, I never said this. So finally,
I am so glad
after in November, on 23rd of November, and the first deregistration letter was sent in October, on the 2nd of October, and I received a phone call from social services because they raised safeguarding as well. Because I'm trying to deregister my son, and because he came with the nappy soil twice and with some skin redness.
Okay. I'm sorry, Christina. I do need to move on to speaking to Mandy. It is such a difficult situation. Did you receive everything that you needed to be able to fight the inaccuracy
from the group, from HEFA group, especially from Hannah, but everybody, absolutely everybody gave advice and was absolutely great. Without them, I just couldn't. I was terrified. They freaked me out, especially being a foreigner. But thank you guys for all of your support.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And I'm so glad that you did eventually manage to get things put in place in the correct manner. And I'm just really sorry that in even at this point in time, we still have people in the local authority and people in schools who do not understand the legal process. I am really sorry for the distress that caused you guys, and I
now
hope that
we
you guys
are happy. We are happy, and we would never change this system, this home education system. It's what it should be, especially with
what
things are happening in schools nowadays.
And your son is much happier and not distressed anymore?
No more meltdowns. Not at all.
Yay.
I'm so pleased.
Fantastic. Right. I am going to move on finally to Mandy. Mandy, would you be able to unmute yourself, please?
Yep. Hello.
Hello. Hello. So you decided to deregister from a special school.
Yes. Okay.
And that is slightly different.
It is. You're sort of, in essence, asking permission, but knowing full well that they can't actually say no. They can yeah. argue with you, but they can't totally refuse, you know. So I contacted, I mean, there is history. 2 years of my disabled daughter being at a special school that doesn't actually meet the needs of her disability. She was the first. Well, she's autistic and blind. The school is for autistic children. They had never had a blind child before. they weren't doing very well, to be fair.
I mean, that's sorry, for those of you who can't see me, I kind of jaw dropped and was like mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
That you've gone through the process of getting a EHCP, ensuring that you can therefore then get into a specialist school to ensure that your child's educational needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
And the place that she ends up in is a school that does not meet her specific disability.
Yeah, because their reasoning was because it's close to the house and it would meet their budget and they are sure that the school can undertake training. However, when she first started the school, we were in the middle of lockdown, so they'd never even met her before. you know, so this
okay.
this kid just sort of appeared and they were like, oh, what do we do? So I tried to give lots of advice. I am blind myself. I tried to tell them what they should be doing. They agree and then don't do it. That went on for 2 years, actually, before I finally went, yeah, do you know what? We're done now.
Yeah.
You know, you try hard, but it gets to a point where you're just wasting time. Everybody knows this, you know. So I sent an email to the SEN caseworker for my daughter's EHCP. So I didn't actually know who that was because it changes. So I just looked at the date of the last EHCP, who sent it, and then replied to them saying, oh, by the way, I request, you know, I'm seeking consent to withdraw my child from a special school. And here's a list of all the things that I'm going to do that would meet her needs in section B of her EHCP.
Yes, because when it comes to meeting needs to be able to meeting needs in home education when you have an EHCP, the part of the EHCP that applies specifically is section B, which is needs, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, all the rest of it becomes sort of just stored away until potentially they go into further education or go off to do other things. But while they're at home, the only bit that applies to you and is relevant to their situation is section B. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you sent the template, which we have in HEFA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a consent to remove from a special school, and it's got all of the legal wording, and then it's got a part where you list everything in section B and how you will meet those needs at home.
Yes. I mean, it was actually you, you personally. I asked in HEFA.
Was it?
Yeah, I asked in HEFA, I want to deregister my child for a special school. What do I do? You know, because, you know, it's not the most common situation. And you came back and went, oh, you have to, and you actually told me do this step and it's section B of the EHCP. And I'm like, really? Is it that easy? And to be fair, it is that easy. It should be that easy. The bit that slows it down is how slowly the SENT move after this, you know?
Yes. So when did you put your consent to dereg in?
I can't remember exactly. It was approximately the 15th-ish of September.
And you've only just been deregistered.
I got deregistered. I finally got the name changed on the EHCP from the school name to Electively Home Educated on the 17th of November.
So 2 months.
2 months. But during which time they had an EHCP meeting, which I didn't have to attend, but I was curious to do so because they had actually invited the school. So I'm like, well, this should be fun. You know, I'm quite combative, actually. So,
well, having a fantastic sense of humour.
Oh, yeah, it's just good sport, you know. I like to terrify yep. people, but particularly ones that have been mean to us. So I just appeared and they're like, oh, we didn't think you were coming. It's like, well, it's an EHCP for my daughter. Why wouldn't I be here?
You know? Excellent.
And then it was a further 6 weeks from that meeting to the point where they had eventually made the decision that, yes, I could teach her at home, no problem, enjoy. You know, I think what drives their decision is their budget rather than anything else, to be fair. But I don't think the school were meeting their needs. And the fact that I was able to prove so easily that those needs were not being met made that whole process so simple for me.
It did, yeah. And to be honest, deregistering from a mainstream school in England or Wales, deregistering from a mainstream with EHCP in England or Wales, and consenting for dereg from a SEN school in England and Wales should be that simple. Mm-hmm. Because the parent retains the ultimate responsibility for ensuring their child receives an education at school or otherwise.
Yep.
When you do have an EHCP, it is slightly complicated in the fact that you have asked the local authority to ensure that your child receives certain support to ensure they receive a suitable education. So that's the only reason why it's slightly different for SEN schools, is because the local authority have allocated this budget and this all of this support, supposedly, to ensure that that child receives what it says on their EHCP. So if you're then going to remove your child from that situation, then they want to just double check that they're not going to be, you know, in breach of that EHCP, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes sense, but they can't reasonably refuse. And I was talking to, I think it was Hannah or maybe Joanna, our two resident EHCP experts. Mm-hmm. I was talking to them about whether or not they have heard of any cases where a consent to remove from a SEN school has been refused, and they couldn't think of any offhand, personally. I'm sure there have been a few, but I also presume that that was overturned very quickly because actually they wouldn't have followed the correct process. How is your daughter doing now?
Oh, she's great. Oh, she's really great. I'm having a great time. She's having a great time. I am in the middle of writing a report of everything that she's been learning, and it's really big. When you write it, you think, wow, they've been doing so much, you know.
Yeah, and that's just from what, November?
Just from November. And she's a really friendly person who literally bounces out of bed. And that's the first time in her academic life I have seen her out of bed on time and without argument. And, you know, it's yeah. lovely. Really lovely. She's totally relaxed. And we're having great fun, to the point where all of her friends want to home educate too, because she's having so much fun.
I often have the daggers thrown at me when my friends go, thanks for that. Yeah. I now have my child asking, why do I have to go to school? they don't have to go to school. Mm-hmm. You said that we have to go to school, but apparently we don't actually have to go to school. So yeah, I feel you on that. And apologies to all of our friends who now have to deal with those difficult circumstances.
Yeah, because we're having a great time and it's fine.
Because we're having, yeah, exactly. We're having a great time. Thank you so much, all three of you, Chelsea, Christina and Mandy, for joining me on this podcast. It is important to us that we hear member voices. And so you are going to be hearing lots more voices from our members of HEFA over the next few weeks as we go through the guides in our Home Ed 101. If you are listening to this and you're considering home education, we have a website, we have this podcast, we have various other things like Instagram and Twitter. For those of you who can hear a noise in the background, that is Mandy's amazing Christmas clock that is telling her it's now 12 o'clock. That's okay. So, yeah, you can find us in all of the usual places. And the main place you can find us is the Facebook group. There are almost 18,000 families in that group, all of which are considering home ed, are home edding. We don't actually have anybody in there who is not a home educator or is not a parent considering home education, those kinds of things. So it is just for parents and it is run by parents that home educate. So yes, thank you so much for joining us on our first podcast back, a little bit of a longer one this time, but I feel like it is really important to hear the voices of our members and the experiences that they have had. So deregistration should be that simple, can be a little bit difficult, but also we can support you to get where you need to go at HEFA as well. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week for another Home Ed 101.
I am so sorry. If you come back in the summer, you can hear the Looney Tunes.